Once again, my name is Ohi Akibi, and I'll be taking the message today. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you because this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We ask that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. And we know that your light will shine upon us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are moving on to the fourth part of our series, and which is titled Sermons, Uproar, and Kingdom. And as you can see, the title of today's message is The Lame Man is Healed. And that text was so beautifully read today for us by Jedidiah. May I start by telling you a short story about a story? This was set in BCC Kids just downstairs in a group we call the Supernovas. So those are the groups between years 3 and 6. As we do in BCC, when the kids are settled, we get them to watch a video on the topic of the day. And after we've done that, we might get a couple of kids to stand up to read a Bible passage linked to the topic of the day. And adults will then come, do a short talk, and we might pray, or we will pray, after which we split them into smaller groups based on their ages and have another level of discussion that's appropriate for their ages. On this day that I'm referring to, we were dealing with the parable of the talents. And like I do most of the time, I try to remind the children that we learn in a variety of ways. We could either learn by what we hear, what we read, or what we see, or a combination of all three. The repetition that this brings always helps the children to firm up the information in their minds so that it is sustained for as long as possible and it can be used in a practical way. Recently, Ellie has helped us by breaking the groups down into some opportunities for journaling, for drawing, for painting, or even for prayer, which also helps to settle their minds down based on what they are learning. And as I said, on the day we were discussing the parable of the talents, just like we do, the video was playing. And you know the parable of the talents, if you know the story very well. It's about the master who gives out talents before going off on a very long journey. And when he returns, he demands from the servants what they have done with the talents that he's given them. And by the end of the video, I noticed that one of the boys had a frown. And I wondered to myself, why is he so angry? As we went through the short talk and the adult was speaking, and I noticed that a couple more boys were looking really dissatisfied by the topic of the day. And when we broke them down into smaller groups, I had the group of these boys that did not look very excited. And it soon became clear to me what the cause of their dissatisfaction was. They had an interpretation of unfairness about the story. One of them asked, how could the master be so wicked? And another said, why didn't the servants have the same number of talents? And interestingly, another said, the servant who buried his talent did the right thing. There was another group of kids who felt very differently about the story, and they were getting into an argument with the kids who were saying, not fair, not fair. As calmly as I could, although I was enjoying the argument, to be fair, and I was seeing the variety of opinions being expressed. And it's quite good to see that people could stand their ground and explain what they thought about their convictions. But I did say to them that the talents were given based on ability. Therefore, the master was actually fair by giving them what he felt they could handle. If those that were given too few were given many, they might have not been able to deal with it, and vice versa. Giving talents based on ability in itself is already an expression of fairness from the master. He knows our abilities. So did the master in that story know the abilities of his servants. So he gave them based on what he knew they could achieve. The servants had to recognize the assessment of what their abilities were so that they could make the best of the situation. I then began to reflect on that conversation I had with the kids, and it became clearer to me as well that God has answered the question of unfairness from the get-go. It was up to us to recognize and make the best of the situation for our profit. I do hope, though, that the recollection of that conversation I had with those children, that they will bring value to them, sometime in their future, either now or much later. And as we always pray, we pray that they will view the story in a way that it will change them in practical ways. But having said that, I then also realized that a story told several years ago also intertwines with my story and my story with the kids and the encounter that the kids had with that story or that parable, as it may be. Seemingly ordinary events, we would say. For me, I still have a near crystal clear recollection of Bible stories that I learned as a child. Some of these stories were told to me by an adult, either at home or in Sunday school. And those first impressions actually linger. I have a very clear recollection of my first Sunday school lesson when I learned about the story that we're talking about today, which is the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. I could recall from the first time I heard the story, one of the questions that I had in mind was very similar to the questions I encountered in BCC Kids. I asked the man, why was the man lame from birth? I thought the Bible was a good book, and it is a good book. But why should someone be lame from birth in the Bible? And I got the most interesting answer. In a very Nigerian way, the person told me, only God can answer that question. Though I did not find it very helpful at that time, it stimulated more questions in me and eventually perhaps answers that have changed the way that I see and I view God's way of dealing with us as human beings. So applying the question of fairness to the Bible passage today and the lame man that was at the gate called Beautiful, I can imagine how he must have felt that life has been unfair to him because he was lame from birth and he could not do the things that others could do. And it's not unlikely that there are many of us in this room that find ourselves feeling the same way about the situations that we have been in or we are because we think that life has been unfair to us. I just want to reassure us today, firstly, that God has answered the question of fairness. What others deem unfair, to God, it's a divine setup to bring glory and celebration to your situation. Could it be possible that we spend less time accusing God of being unfair about the cards that we have been dealt in life? Could we accept that God is indeed addressing the issues of fairness in our life, and that he has indeed addressed it, and that for us, he's setting us up for a bigger event? If you don't already have access to the YouVersion Bible app, you can scan the QR code behind me and you can view the notes that are already prepared. You're able to make your comments if you want and you can save them for future reference. The text that we have dealt with today is a very ordinary story to start with, and then it becomes extraordinary. And if we look at the book of Acts so far, we're in Acts chapter 3 now, we can see that a big sermon was preceded by a very mighty outpouring of God, the day of Pentecost. Lots of people speaking in tongues in the upper room, and suddenly a crowd gathers, and Peter has an opportunity to preach the gospel to many people who got saved. In today's text, we have another supernatural encounter leading to a sermon being preached. As the early church was being birthed, these events seem to draw people and draw their attention and prepare a crowd for a sermon about the gospel to be preached to them. Now, a pattern here was being established for us to observe. If someone does something for once, you might say, oh, that's a one-off. However, when you see that there is a pattern or there's a repetition as to how the person does something, you might then begin to say, this person has a way of doing things. The same for our King, the Almighty God, who runs his kingdom, and his kingdom, you can say, is a way, God's way of doing things. And there's some significant milestones in the story today that I want us to look at. First of all was the healing. The lame man who feels he may have been dealt an unfair card in life and an unfair portion in life suddenly begins to walk, skip, jump, and praise. He began to do something he had never done before. Something he had never done before was walk. And on that day, he began to do so. Next thing was that there was rejoicing. Witnesses began praising in loud voices in the temple courts. And we will notice on the day of Pentecost, the praising and the uproar happened right there in the city of Jerusalem because there were many visitors into the city of Jerusalem. But this time around, the uproar and the praising was in the temple, within the earshot of the same Pharisees, Sadducees, and Jewish leaders who were responsible for the killing of Jesus. They were able to hear that there was something different going on. And finally, Peter had an opportunity to preach a sermon, another chance to share the gospel like he did on the day of Pentecost, also in the confines of the temple, within the earshot of those who were responsible for the death of Jesus. We'll recall that in the first couple of messages that we have looked through already in this series, Pastor Nick has talked about genealogies. And if you permit me, I would like to use that term in a slightly looser version today, that the genealogies is not just the birth of one by another, either physically or spiritually, but I also want to look at it in another light, that it could be the birth of an event from an event. And I'll try to reiterate the point that I've made earlier. A healing took place. People rejoiced and congregated, which created an opportunity for a sermon to be preached. A series of events, one leading to another, and a form of one event birthing another. And we look at it in a different way. The sermon that Peter preached spoke about a variety of events that seemed to have been orchestrated by a higher power. Though the Israelites and the Jews were accused of murdering the Lord, he made it clear to them that these things had been predicted way before they were born, and they were destined to happen anyway. He, however, provided them the good news, the gospel, that there was a way out, there was restoration, there was mercy available to them. Also, if we look at the account of Luke, it's a story within a bigger story. The setting was created by the healing of the man with his own issues, who benefits from God staging a sermon opportunity for Peter. Peter was never slack, we all know, in making his voice heard. He always knew how to seize opportunities. I would say that there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of people congregating on that day with a variety of unfair needs, setbacks in life, disappointments, many feeling that life has been unkind to them. But the lame man's story appeared to be different because he seemed to feature in God's bigger picture. God was setting up a move and the birth of the new church, or the birth of the church. And the lame man's story featured in God's big move. How awesome will it be for us if our personal restoration stories could feature in God's mighty move? I'll repeat that how awesome would it be for your personal restoration story to feature in God's almighty move? By doing this, I'd like to go back into the first five verses of Acts chapter 3, and I'll read again. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, whose name we're not told by Luke, I believe for a good reason, was described as lame from birth. He needed to be carried, perhaps by friends, perhaps by relatives, or people who would have taken advantage of his disability to make profit. They would make him beg for alms, either to meet his needs or to meet their needs. We are not told if this was his choice or not, to be placed at the gate to beg. These unanswered questions, I believe, are deliberate, in the sense that God creates spiritual liberty for us to apply these events to our own personal life situation. And considering the points that I've just made earlier about events birthing another, we can see here that there was such great timing that couldn't have happened by chance. First of all, there was a time of prayer. which was already established way beyond and way before the time of all that were gathered. And they said it was about 3 o'clock. And from my understanding, it tends to be every 3 hours. And they call them the watches. The lame man had to be dropped at the gate on time. Peter and John were going to the temple at seemingly the same time. And there were many people at that gate that the lame man could have begged for alms from. But it was Peter and John. The obedience as well of Peter and John to recognize the timing that this was not a time for alms, but it was a time for healing. The man himself recognized the moment, and he was able to switch his expectation from needing alms to needing something particularly different today, because it was no longer an ordinary day. It was no longer the routine of the everyday being placed by the gate. It was a time he was going to do something, or he was going to get something that he has never gotten before and do something that he has never done before. And regularly we are asked to do certain things on a regular basis, or we do certain routines. How great would it be for the good Lord to come in and interrupt your routine with a miracle? There's this story on this clip on a lighter note, but I hope it drives the point home. As a clip on the BBC, which we're going to show very soon, and Lyde will put that up in a minute, which was made so much memorable, not because of what the person was being interviewed over, but because of the interruption that took place. Thank you, Lyde.
No, I would argue that this is the trial of democracy. Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do.
Pardon me.
My apologies.
What is this going to mean for the region?
My apologies.
Oh, that makes me giggle every time I watch it. Wasn't that mom awesome? You see the way she slid into the room. And like I said in the first service, in a very Navy SEAL manner, she extracted those children from the room. But I also noticed that there must be something about that father that attracted those children to him. You know, and that's also a positive thing. But that by the side, a point for the men there. But that by the side, with the man being in the foreground, he has become such a celebrity now in his own right, not because of the content of the interview that he gave, because I don't even know what he was talking about, but because of the interruption that happened. How much more will we remember when God interrupts our routine? With something new and something fresh, something different. The lame man did something he had never done before, so it wasn't routine. He began to walk. So your routine can be interrupted by the Almighty, and you will do something that you have never done before, even though it might seem impossible in your own eyes. If this lame man was in 2024, we can imagine what he will do now. He will go to the gate beautiful, with his smartphone. This is where I was before I got healed. And then he goes and posts it and says, look at my legs now. And you can imagine how many clicks he will get, how many followers on Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'm a bit too old to talk about these, I guess. But some of us might call or describe all the things that happened that led to his healing as coincidences. However, our God is able to make every incident in your life align. Some may say that the stars have been aligned for him, but we belong to a God who makes all things work together for our good. Where you are today does not define you. It might describe you. But God has prepared a better place. There's a professor of mathematics in the university, the Imperial College London, who's called David Hand. He's written a book called The Improbability Principle, and he's quoted as saying, extremely improbable events are commonplace. And he tries to explain from a mathematical perspective how coincidences, miracles, and rare events happen all the time. This is, in fact, more of a divine orchestration, linking events to another. And we must appreciate that we are significant characters under the influence of a higher power. And we must not lose our awareness of this, that we're significant characters under the control of a higher power. We could potentially disqualify ourselves from our starring role by labeling our master as unfair and out of touch. Our omniscient God has prepared our path. And it might be based on our abilities, might be based on our giftings, and we might feel that some of these are unfortunate journeys that we have to go through. But God, didn't he say that no temptation has come to man that is uncommon to them, that he will prepare for us a way of escape? If we must make progress along this path that God has designed for us, we need to make the right connections. And it's my hope that those of us here, those watching on YouTube, and those who might watch this feed later in the future, that you will pick up something of value from what has been said, and that God will be able to transition you from where you are now to a new place. And as we build further, I just remember my search for the symbols of a gate, because he was at the gate called Beautiful. And one of the symbols that I came across was protection. A gate sets a boundary for a property and serves as a deterrent from people getting free access. So the lame man was left at this gate and he could not earn access. The other symbol was transition. When access is then granted, it serves as a transition from the outside in. And you might be like the lame man today. You feel that you've been taken advantage of. You've had no choice of your own in some instances on where you have ended up. We can blame the government and such and such. But cyclically, we arrive at our own gate called Beautiful, but never make that transition, always having to settle for the same old. The lame man looked expectantly on this day, hoping for alms, but he did not realize that that day was not an ordinary day, that day was different. Have you ever considered that today might just be your different day? What made this day different for the lame man? How was he able to transit from that cyclical nature of being stuck at a gate and to see progression in his life? As I close, I would like to come down on 3 points. And one of them is the readiness to pray. We can see that Peter and John were heading to the temple at the time of prayer, but they were interrupted by someone who was lame from birth. They did not compartmentalize the prayer time and say, look, it's not quite time for prayer. They were able to speak the word that brought him into a new position in life. And the Bible also tells us that we should pray always with all manners of prayers. And Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, of course with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts forever. So we must be prepared to pray. We must always have that attitude of prayer, always in tune with deity, always in tune with the Almighty, because you never know, that day could be the day of your transition. The next is the readiness to preach, or the attitude of preaching. Not necessarily as a pastor, but being able to represent the kingdom of the Almighty. When great things happen in your life, are you able to say that it is the God that I serve that has brought this my way? Are we able to testify of the goodness of God and where he's brought us from? Are we able to say that we're grateful even if he blesses us or he doesn't? Because we know that we have a God that is fair. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, preach the word in season and out of season. And before I go into my third point, may I request the praise team to come back to the stage. Thank you very much. This man received healing and immediately began praising God, ran into the temple courts, praising God, and expressing himself in a way that he has never done before. It reminds us of a story of the 10 lepers who, after they got their healing, only one of them returned to the Lord to say thank you. Only one of them showed any form of gratefulness. And Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has saved you." In this time we find ourselves, do we need to wait for the miracle to praise? Because our faith has saved us. And isn't faith the assurance of the things hoped for? Isn't faith the calling of things that be not as though they were? And if we have done that already, why can't we praise? Let us give God praise like we never have, because God is about to transit us from our gate called beautiful into the courts of the Almighty. And as that psalm says, let's enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and his courts with praise. Ephesians 2 verse 22 says, "And in him you also," this is yet another "you also" moment, where you can go into the place of prayer. You can go into the place of confidence and boldness to preach the gospel and testify of the goodness of God. And of course, finally, you have the attitude of praise. Amen. Thank you.